And the price of the mashke was a good price. He didn't charge too much. And all kinds of people came into the store. One day, there came into the store a galach. And this galach, everyone knew him. His name was Tadus. Tadus the galach. He was the galach of the big green church on the other end of the town, in the Goyisha side of the town. A big, big green church. And Tadus was the chief galach of this church. And he came into the store to buy wine for the church and to buy wine for himself to drink. And when he came into the store, he came in for two things. Number two, to buy wine. But number one, the real reason that he came himself is he knew that Razel, the Yiddish girl, worked in the store. And Tadus wants, more than anything in his whole life, to get a Yid to come to his church. This is like a cat catching a mouse. He loved even to think of the idea that he would be able to catch a Jew and trick that Jew to coming into his church. And when he found out one day, when his servant told him that there's a nice Yiddish girl working in the wine store, a very smart and beautiful girl, right away he had in his mind, "Ooh, I would love to catch a smart and beautiful Jewish girl, and I would love to trick her into coming to my church. Oh, that would be so good." And he made up his mind, he's going to try to catch the girl that works in the wine store in his trap. And he comes in and he says, "Oh, I've heard your wine is so good. Please give me two bottles of your best wine." And Razel goes and she gets the wine. Since it's only two bottles, she can carry it herself. And she didn't like this galach right away. I mean, she just didn't like the way he was dressed with the big tzelem and the long robes and the special hat. She just wanted to give him the wine and he should leave as soon as possible. And he paid for the wine and she was putting it into a bag and he says, "By the way, did you ever see the big green church?" Razel says, "Don't talk to me about that. You know I'm a Jewish girl and I have no interest in your big green church. Now please, I don't even want to hear about it." Oh, Tadus says, "Inside, it's so beautiful. Did you ever see it inside?" And Razel didn't even talk to him. And the next time he came into the store, she didn't even talk to him. She just took the money and she gave him the bottles of wine and he tried to talk to her and she wouldn't even listen. And every time Tadus tried to talk to her in the store, she wouldn't even say a word. And Tadus, instead of giving up, he got more and more anxious and more nervous. And he tried even harder. And he decided that he's going to make a trick to get Razel to come to the church. So what did he do? He himself, for the next few weeks, did not go to the store to buy wine. He sent his servant. And he told his servant, "Buy each time 10 bottles of wine, but don't pay. Write it down. Write it down in the big book." And the servant went to the store and he says, "Please give me 10 bottles of your best wine for Tadus in the church." And when Razel asked for the money, he says, "Well, Tadus said, we're not going to pay. We'll pay at the end of the month. Please write it down in the book." Well, Razel made a new page in the book and she wrote down Tadus and she wrote down 10 bottles of wine, and each bottle of wine, let's say, was $10. So 10 bottles of wine for $10, that's $100 for 10 bottles of wine. It's expensive, good wine. And she writes it down. The next week he comes in and another 10 bottles of wine. So she writes it down. Already, how much does he owe?
$200.
The third week, 10 more bottles of wine. $300. And the next week, a fourth time he buys 10 bottles of wine. $400. So at the end of the month, of course, 40 bottles of wine for $400. And usually people... And at the end of the month, the servant comes into the store and he says, I'll pay my bill now. I brought $300 for 30 bottles of wine. And Razel says, I'm sorry, but I think it was $400 because it was 40 bottles of wine. And the servant says, Tada said that I should pay $300 for 30 bottles of wine. And he gave me the money. And Razel says, well, I'm going to take out the book just to double check. And she sees 40 bottles of wine. That means for 10 bottles, he's not paying. She says, there must be some kind of a mistake. Please go back and tell Tadus that he still owes me $100 because there was 40 bottles of wine. The servant goes back and tells Tadus, and then in about a half an hour he comes back to the store and he says to Razel, Tadus says that you're making a mistake. It was only 30 bottles of wine and only $300, and if there's anything that you want to speak to him about that you think he's wrong, so you have to come to his house. He'll be waiting over there in his house. And he'll be willing to discuss the mistake. He'll talk about the mistake with you. But he cannot come today. And Razel started getting upset because $100 is a lot of money. And $100 that he didn't pay. And she didn't think too much. She decided, well, she'll just take a walk down the street into the Goyisha side of town. All she's going to do is go to his house, not the church. She had his address. And she'll knock on the door and just ask him to give the money, and she'll show him the book that it was 40 bottles of wine. And so Kinalach Razel went walking over into the Goyish side of the neighborhood. And she felt a little bit funny, a little bit strange, but she figured she's doing what she has to do. And she goes to his address and she knocks on the door. And Tadus opens the door. Oh, it's Razel, the girl from the wine store. Is everything okay? She says, well, you made a mistake. I'm sorry, it's 40 bottles of wine, not 30. Tada says, you know, now I remember. You're right, it was 40, but 10 bottles of wine were sour. It tasted like pickle juice. Ooh, there was something wrong with it. So I decided it's not fair to make me pay for the wine. And since the wine was sour like pickle juice, I shouldn't have to pay for it. So I'm only paying you for 30. Razel says, what? What are you talking about, sour like pickle juice? That is my father's best wine. No one ever had any problem before with it. Everybody only says how delicious it is. No one ever said it tasted sour. And especially like pickle juice, nobody ever said such a thing. And 10 bottles of wine? How could it be? Tata says, I'll prove it to you. Come in, and I'll let you taste it yourself. And all of a sudden, without thinking, Razel stepped into his house. And Tata says to the servant, go down to the basement and bring me those 10 bottles of wine that taste like pickle juice. And the servant goes down to the basement and he brings up 10 bottles of wine, all of them opened. And he says, bring me a glass. Bring me 2 glasses. I'll also taste it to see if maybe I'm making a mistake or not. But I know it tasted just like pickle juice. And so Tadus poured out a big glass of wine and he gave it to Razel. By this time, Razel was upset and she forgot something she learned in halacha, in the yeshiva she went to, that if a goy pours out wine, you're certainly not allowed to drink it, especially a galach. It's called yain nesech. Even if it's kosher wine, it doesn't matter. A goy pours out wine, you're not allowed to drink it. And Razel forgot, because she was upset. And Tadas handed her the glass of wine, and he says, here, drink this. And she made a bracha, Bari Priya Gafin. She turned away from Miss Salem. You shouldn't make a bracha in front of that. And she drank, and she says, this tastes fine. It tastes good. What are you talking about? Tastes like pickle juice. He says, you only had a little sip. Drink some more. She drank a little bit more. And she didn't know that her head would start to spin because she started drinking too much wine. And Tadis said, I'm going to also taste it. And he took another glass and he poured wine in the glass and he drank it down. He says, hey, you're right. It doesn't taste like pickle juice. Maybe I drank the wine after I ate a pickle, and so it tasted like a little bit of the pickle juice. I'm so sorry. I'll get money and pay you for the 10 bottles of wine. Just sit down. You look like you're dizzy. Oh, yes. I'm very dizzy. My head is spinning around. Tada says, well, you can't go home with your head is dizzy. You want to just sit down in this comfortable chair while I get the money. Oh, better yet, I'll sit with you and I'll tell my servant to get the money. And so Tada says to the servant, go upstairs and get the money for the young lady and take your time. And she sat down and she couldn't get up. Her head was spinning and Tada starts to speak to her. You want to go see the church? It's right next door to my house. Come on, let me take you in to show you the church. Oh, no, 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 no. Well, let me tell you all about the Getchkes. And he starts talking to her about church and about Getchkes and about Avodah Zarah. And she couldn't even get up to walk. Her head was spinning. And this was Tada's Schlechter plan. He already started to dray her a cup. And he already started to dray her a cup and poison her mind, Chas V'Shalom, with his words. You should never listen to a person speaking to you about these things because they dray you a cup and they know how to make tricks in your head. And Tada spoke and he spoke and he spoke until finally the servant brings the money and he pays her and she leaves. But Kenelach, you know, once you already start listening to these galachim and these kind of people, it already has a little bit of an effect. That's why you should never listen to them. I told you, like a Yavan, first is a Yud, a little bit down, then a Vav, a little bit lower, then a Langanun, a little bit lower. Remember I told you about that Hanukkah time? The Yitzhahara works a little by little. And the next time that it was time to buy wine, Tadas did not send his servant. He went himself to the store. And you know what happened? Razel didn't run away. And he started speaking to her, and she didn't run away. She was listening a little bit. And Tadas saw his plan is working. He's catching his fish. And each time he went to the store, he only bought one bottle at a time. So instead of going for one time to buy 10 bottles, he went 10 times to buy 10 bottles. And Sabislach, he started to dray a cup. Each time a little bit more. And he kept saying, come to visit, and I'll show you around. And he started speaking against different things of yeshiva and against Hashem and things like that. And Razel should have never listened. But a sneaky Russia like that knows how to dray a cup until he got her to promise she's going to come to visit one time. But she said, my parents will never let me. And he said, your parents don't have to know. You come at night, and your parents won't know. Just climb out the window. Don't you have a window? And then by the morning, you come back, and they won't know. And Kenelach, one night, the Yetzirah came to Razel. And she climbed out the window. Okay. Razel climbed out the window. And she went down the tree. She went across the yard. She felt a very strong koyach. It was the Yetzirah. And she went down the street, past her yeshiva, past the shul, past the Yiddish stores. And she felt very, very strange, but there was some koyach that was taking her. It was the Yetzer Haram. And she went out of the Yiddish neighborhood into the Goyish neighborhood, past the Goyish houses, and past the Goyish school, and past the Goyish stores. And then she came to the big green church. And she knocked on the door. And Tadus himself opened it up. Oh, Razel, you came to visit the church. Oh, that's very good. Come in the church and I'll show you around. And he took her all around and showed her all the ketchkes. And then he took her up to the fifth floor. And he unlocked the door and he said, and here is your room. She says, what do you mean, my room? Yes, now that you've seen the church, you're going to stay here, and I'll teach you more things. You don't want to go home, do you? Back to your house? Razel says, well, yes, I do want to go back to my house. I want to see my mommy and my tati and my brothers and my sisters. No, Tada says, stay here a while more, and we'll show you more things. It's not good to go back home once you've been here. Stay, and you'll be here for a while. And that tricky Rasha had a way of talking stuff into her head, and he locked her up in the room in the fifth floor of the church. And the morning came, and Reb Chaim Berger and his wife are waiting for Razel to come downstairs for breakfast. Where's Razel this morning? It's already late. She's going to be late for yeshiva. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't feel well. She's sleeping so long. Well, let's go upstairs and see what's happening. Razel, wake up. It's late. They knock on her door, there's no answer. Oh, she must be sound asleep. They open the door. Hey, what's going on? Nobody's in the bed. There's nobody there. And the window is open. Hey, what's going on over here? This is very strange. Razel's gone. And they looked around the yard. Maybe she went for a walk or something. Nope, she wasn't there. They started to get very afraid. They walked around the neighborhood asking people, did you see Razel this morning? No. They went to the school. Maybe she went to school early. They didn't see her. Razel wasn't in school. They started getting very, very nervous. They sensed that something is wrong. Something is wrong. They walked all around the streets of Prague asking people, did you see our Razel? And there was one old man, and he said, you know, I was up late last night learning, and I happened to see a girl, and I thought it was your Razel, walking very fast through the street. I said, no, it couldn't be, it's impossible. Maybe I'm just dreaming or something. But I had in my mind, what's a Yiddish girl doing up so late, walking so fast in the middle of the night alone in the street? Oh no, where was she going? Well, that's why I thought I was dreaming or something, because she was going out of the Yiddish neighborhood into the Goyish neighborhood. Oy vey, what's going on? And Reb Chaim Berg and his wife ran out from the Yiddish neighborhood into the Goyish neighborhood. And they started asking Goyim if they saw a girl late at night walking. And one of the Goyim said, yeah, I saw her walking. She went to the green church. What? And they went to the green church. They didn't even want to go near it. But the daughter's inside. They have to get her out. They knocked on the door. They didn't want to go inside. They're not allowed to go inside. And Thaddeus came down and he sees two Jews. And he figures out, oh, yeah, this is Mr. Berger and his wife who own the wine store. They're probably looking for their daughter. And they say, did you see our daughter, Razel? And Thaddeus says, yes, I know where she is, but you're never going to see her again because she's in my church. And once you go into my church, you don't get out so fast. Bye-bye. And he slams the door in their face with big chutzpah. And you can imagine how Reb Chaim Berger and his wife felt that their daughter's locked up in there. And Tadda slams the door. Oy vey, what are we going to do? And they went, Kindalach. They went to the house of the Maharal. The Maharal, the great tzaddik of Prague, who they knew was the biggest tzaddik. And if there's anybody in the world that could help, he could help. Of course, they have to daven to Hashem. But they knew from the Torah that you have to also do everything possible and go to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik is close to Hashem, and the tzaddik hopefully will daven for you and figure out a way to help you. And they went into the Maharal's house, and over there was different people also waiting to see the Maharal. And the Maharal had a shamash who used to help him. His name was Avram Chaim. And Avram Chaim asked Reb Chaim Berger and his wife, what's wrong? He sees they're upset. And they whispered in his ear what was happening. And he right away went to the Maharal and told him what's going on. And the Maharal said, they have to wait a few minutes and then I'll come out and see them. And Avram Chaim told them just to wait a few minutes. And the Maharal came out. And the Maharal said, I heard what's going on, and I'm sorry, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do to help. And their faces turned white. They were so afraid. How could it be that at tzaddik, the Maharal can't help us? The Maharal said very quietly, he says, if she was taken by Tadus, and if she's locked up into the green church, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. And he said, shh. They were so tzabrochen, they went home. They didn't even talk. They cried the whole day and into the night. They just didn't know what to do. They were crying and crying. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, they heard a knock on the door. Who could be knocking 2 o'clock in the morning on the door? Yes, who's there? Avram Chaim, the shamash of the Maharal. What's he doing here? He opened up the door. Avram Chaim says, the Maharal said he wants to see both of you in his house right now. He knows it's late, but it's an emergency. What? The Maharal is calling us back to his house 2 o'clock in the morning? But he just said today he can't help us. Avram Chaim says, come right away. The wagon is waiting. Now they felt there's some kind of hope, but they're all mixed up. They go into the wagon. They go to the house of the Maharal. The Maharal is waiting for them. He has some tea from them and some cookies. And he says, I'm very sorry about today. I told you I can't help you. I had to make that trick. I didn't really mean it. But there were people in my house that I didn't know exactly who they were. And I knew this thing has to be a very big secret. Because this Tadus the Galach is very tricky. He's a very, very big Russia. And I want no one at all to know that I'm helping you. Because if it's done secret, it will work. If it's done with people knowing, it might not work. And so I made a trick and I said, I can't help you, that anybody that was in my house that even heard what was going on, they'll think that I can't do anything and they'll forget about me. But I called you back in the middle of the night to speak to you in secret, that nobody should be around except for Avraham Chaim, who is my shamish, and he is very trusted. I trust him with everything. And of course I'm going to help you until Razel comes back. There's no shail at all. Because that Yiddish girl to be locked up in that church is every second pikuach nefesh, saving a life. So the Maharal said, first thing, do you have a friend or some relative that lives far, far away that Razel could live in their house? And Reb Chaim said, I have a brother who lives in Amsterdam, far away city. His name is Reb Michel. And he also has a wine store far, far away in a far away city. That's my brother. The Maharal said like this, you have to get two friends or a friend or two that have a wagon. Don't tell them what's happening. Just ask them that if any time during the day and night they will be ready to drive the wagon to go to Amsterdam, and as soon as Razel gets out, the minute that she gets back, she's going to get into that wagon and go far, far away. She shouldn't be around here. Can you arrange that? Do you have any friends in your neighborhood that could drive a wagon far, far away? And Reb Chaim says, yes, I'll find friends. I think they can do it. The Maharal says, okay, you go home and you continue your tefillos and your tehillim and whatever tshuva you want to do, but just know that Hashem is going to help and I'm going to help to do whatever I can, and Razel will get out safe. Just don't worry. Don't you worry at all. And so Kinalach, Reb Chaim and his wife went back and they felt better. But of course they were still worried about their daughter, that every minute she's locked up in that church. And now, kiddies, we go back to the church. Razel is locked up in the fifth floor, and she starts to cry, I want to go home. I don't want to be here. I want my mommy and my tati and my brothers and my sisters. I've had enough of this place. I want to go home. And Tado said, just spend some more time. It's very good here. You'll be happy here. Forget going to yeshiva and your family. Forget them. Over here in the church, it's a new life. You'll be here with the Getchkes, and here is where you're gonna stay here. You'll be here with me. That's it. And you'll have friends. And he started to drain her cup. And she says she wants to go home, and she says she doesn't want to be here. And Tadis would find all tricky ways to keep her there another day and another day. So finally Tadis says to himself, I have a good idea. If she gets married, after all she's old enough to get married, and she has a family, and the family is going to make her busy, then she'll forget about her mother and father and her family. So we have to find her some nice boy. Some nice guy, a guy, a boy guy, that she should marry him. And then she won't want to go back to her family, and every day she'll come to the church and she'll be here. Because all Tadis wanted to do was catch a fish, do you understand? He wants to catch a Jew to be in the church. And he says, I know a special duke. A duke is like a rich man that lives in a castle, and he has a son, and the son is the same age like Razel. I will introduce the boy to the girl and the girl to the boy, and maybe we'll arrange that they should get married, and then Razel will forget all about going home. And so Tadus told the servant, Get me my wagon. I'm going to visit the Duke in his castle. And the wagon comes, and Tados gets into the wagon, and he goes driving out of the city into the countryside, all the way to the big castle of the Duke. And over there, the servants open the door, and they say, Tados, the Galak is here to see the Duke. And the Duke comes dressed up in his fancy schmancy suit. Oh, Tados, it's very good to see you. Why do you come to visit me in my castle? And Tados says, I have some very good news for you. And I think I have some good news for your son, your nice son. Now, your son is old enough to get married, right? Yeah, the Duke says, we're trying to find him a nice girl, but we have to have a very special, special girl. We did not find her yet for my son. Tada says, oh, I have a girl for your son, and you'll be so happy. Oh, yeah, she's a nice girl. Is she beautiful? Oh, better than that. Oh, is she rich? Oh, better than that. What's better than that?